When I was first starting out and approving new customers, our typical turnaround time, like 5 to 7 business days. Now we can turn around within minutes, essentially, with the tools that are out there.
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We're your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today's guest is Sean Delaney. Currently a senior credit and risk manager at McCormick, he's been working in the industry for 20 years. Sean is passionate about digital trends and has a deep understanding of data-driven decision management meant to deliver impact across businesses, people, and communities. Sean, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Christina.
So for today's topic, I wanted to pick your brain on the impact of data-driven decisioning can have on a collection strategy. But before we dive into that, how about you start by telling me how you found yourself in the collections industry?
Well, I honestly don't think anyone anticipates going into the industry, but I graduated my undergraduate degree back in 2004 and was looking for an opportunity. And it was really the first thing that came around. I honestly thought it would be a short stint, you know, 6 to 12 months just to kind of get me by, move out of my parents' house, things of that nature. And here I am 20 years later, still in the industry.
So you had to have liked it somewhat.
I do like it. I think it's definitely changed a lot over time. And over time, I've been able to grow both personally and professionally, expand my scope, work in various industries with quite a number of large organizations that I've been a part of. So I've gotten to do a little bit of everything within credit, risk, collections, cash applications. I'd kind of consider myself a utility player, if you will.
Very nice. So for your industry that you're in now, McCormick, and your role, can you talk to me about what it looks like to be in credit risk for that? Are you consumer-based? Is it B2B? What are you primarily focusing on?
Our portfolio is all business-to-business collections. We have, I would say, between all of our business units, about 1,500 customers. We're a relatively conservative company on the credit and risk side. However, we have made some recent acquisitions, which their strategies were a little bit more aggressive than ours. So really working with the customers, slowly grooming them along the journey, incorporating them into the core McCormick business.
Okay, interesting. And before you mentioned that throughout your role, you've gotten to see things evolve, that's actually a really good segue to my first question, which is how has the role and responsibility of credit risk managers, people in collections evolved as you've gone through the industry, but also as technology and compliance regulations have evolved?
One example I can think of is over time, when I was first starting out in the industry and approving new customers, our typical turnaround time on credit applications was anywhere between, I would say on average, like 5 to 7 business days. And I mean, now with all of the information that's available, I would say 95% of the time we can turn around a decision, you know, within minutes, essentially, with the tools that are out there. There's a lot of platforms, resources that we utilize within our roles. And when I was first starting out, we were calling references, faxing references, a lot of manual work in terms of spreading financials, using Excel spreadsheets to calculate formulas, things of that nature. And now all that is done automatic. So it makes the process a lot faster, a lot more efficient, and adds a lot of value for the business, being able to get back to them and to the customer in a very, very timely fashion.
Yeah. And using that example to expand upon, you don't have to fax, you know, references anymore. I know there's been the big pivot to a lot of using decisioning engines and no longer going off like that gut feeling of, oh, I think this is going to be a low risk person or this is a high risk person. And now everything is a lot more structured, right?
I would say 90% of that is correct. Yes, I think, you know, the one element of credit that we'll never be able to fully automate would be, you know, the character of the business owner or the executive leadership team that you're looking at. You know, that we also consider, and especially, you know, nowadays with various social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, those you can get a lot of information as to, you know, an individual's character as well. One example I can think of back in probably like the mid 2010s in my career was, you know, having a customer say that they were having, you know, cash flow issues when they were showing, you know, images on Facebook of their small business having, you know, a very elaborate Christmas party. So things like that where...
That's so interesting. So you'll go and do the research on people depending on their claims?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we won't go into it like a deep dive. Well, you know, we mainly base our decision making off of financials and off of patron history. But there is, a character component of it as well that we'll take a look at.
So when it comes to decisioning, are you seeing machine learning and AI in a lot of your work recently or just in the ethos of maybe conferences you're attending or just communication amongst other people that you're in business with? I know that's a very hot topic right now that everybody's talking about. So I was wondering firsthand where you sit with all of that.
Yeah, I think we're on the cusp of something revolutionary here with AI and within credit and collections. I think we're at the very early stages trying to still keep that human element intact. But in terms of robotic process automation, we actually have company goals, not only in credit and collections, but other functions have goals as well that are tied to RPAs and process improvements. My team, for example, we're responsible for 100 hours per year in savings. And most of that is coming through the robotics automation, whether that be customer statements, invoices, cash applications, credit decisioning, pretty much the whole gamut in the order to cash process. I know even our colleagues in customer service, they're using robotics as well. I don't know specifically the details, but I know that it's a very hot topic. And I think eventually with AI, it's going to be, you know, so crazy. I think, and with people conducting business on their phones, I mean, this kind of sounds wacky, but I think, you know, a customer will get, you know, will get an invoice via, you know, via email, something like that, and they'll receive it. And, you know, there could be some little chip or something in the invoice, and you'll be able to tie down like a location of exactly where that customer is and what they're doing. That technology, it seems like it's a good thing, but it's fast and it's very progressive for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really crazy what, you know, thinking from a few years ago, probably from what you were trying to work through. I was just having a podcast interview with someone else who said they were kind of on the ground floor of creating what essentially became the first self-service platform for consumers to manage their collections on their own without having to call an agent. And that was so revolutionary, and they were getting a lot of negative feedback. Like, you can't rely on the consumer to do that. And now, fast forward, we have machine learning and AI, and we're taking it even further than just them logging on to their own, like, consumer portal screen to handle it.
Yeah, I think it's essentially going to be the next phase of business process outsourcing. Was pretty big and still is, but I managed one of my previous roles, I managed a team of about 12 individuals over in India. And, you know, that was obviously for cost considerations. But I think once they, you know, figure out some of this AI in more detail, that's definitely another avenue that is going to be pursued. I just think we're at the point now where there's so much gray area in terms of what are the laws, what are the rules and regulations, and then being able to navigate that not only in the in the United States, but also internationally. So that's the tricky part going forward.
Oh, absolutely. And also not eliminating that connection that people can have. You want to be able to have the time savings and, of course, the cost savings with utilizing technology. But there's always the benefit to having a person, an actual team still behind, especially with something like credit risk, whereas the machine can't necessarily pick up on the nuances of what might be going on the back end that the credit risk manager might be able to do more efficiently.
Absolutely. I mean, we're still going into, if we're running into trouble with a particular debtor, we're still taking that same approach from 20 years ago in terms of reaching out to the sales rep, getting a contact that can help explain to their team what's going on in terms of, you know, the priority of payment. Or, you know, sometimes we're also going into LinkedIn and pulling, you know, controller information, CFO information, things of that nature. So I definitely think that human piece, it's not going to go away, but the AI piece is definitely going to, you know, progress significantly, I would say, in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years for sure.
Do you have any good stories to share where the data-driven decisioning models that you use have uncovered something that previous risk mitigation strategies would have potentially missed? So anything unique that you can think of, whether it's at McCormick or a previous role?
In terms of specifics, no, but I mean, just in terms of time savings, I mean, the role has gotten much more efficient. We're able to dabble in a lot more things as a result of the efficiencies. For example, at McCormick, I was a part of revitalizing our supply chain financing program with our treasury department. So we had about 15 customers, and one of the issues was that it was spread across multiple banks, financial institutions, and we had a tough time bringing all of the reporting together as to how much we were selling off and what the interest expense was and what the DSO benefit and the economic value added benefit was of getting those receivables in early and being able to shop around and kind of consolidate with one bank. We're in the process of doing that now, and it's definitely making that process easier and enabling us to do some things that are somewhat outside of credit and collections, but still related. So, you know, working with Treasury on that project right now.
Sean, it's been really great having you today on Collecting Thoughts. Before we sign off, is there anything that you wanted to share that we didn't touch on?
No, Christina, I think we're good. I appreciate your time. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. You too. Thank you.